My name is Susanne Dobke. I'm a speech pathologist and I predominantly work with families who are raising their children bilingually.
Well, Susanne, does bilingualism or can bilingualism cause problems with the development of language in children?
Not at all. We know for a fact that bilingualism does not cause any difficulties for children developing language. However, bilingual children have difficulties with language development at the same rate as monolingual children have. Some children just have that difficulty. They're born that way. And we need to deal with it in both languages.
But you sort of think from the outset that, you know, learning one language is enough. Couldn't they be confused?
No, children don't actually confuse that. The children themselves are not challenged any more by two languages than they are by one language. It's just part of the language learning capacity that human beings are born with. They learn exactly what they're presented with. In our seminars, we teach parents strategies on how to keep the languages apart, how to make sure that the child does get appropriate and enough models in both languages, not just English, but the other language that the family speaks, so that they develop enough skills to be understood by monolingual speakers and to develop language skills for their lives.
What can be some of the challenges for children who are brought up, though, bilingually?
Well, I would rather talk about challenges for the parents, actually. I think it's difficult for the parents, originally, to develop a habit of not just speaking English, but speaking the language they were raised with themselves, and to keep the languages apart. So if anything, the parents are getting confused, I believe, rather than the children.
How can you help parents then with some practical steps?
In my talks, I give a whole range of ideas of what parents can do on a day-to-day or minute-to-minute interaction with their children. Three most important things, I believe, are that parents are very consistent in their language use. Like when you decide to speak a language other than English with your child, you basically need to do it all the time because the child hears that language much less than English anyway. So if you only speak it 50% of the time, but you're only spending 4 hours a day with your child, then that cuts it down to 2 hours. That's very, very little. So you need to speak it all the time. And that actually helps the child to work out what's English and what's mummy's language or daddy's language in that case. The language input has to be really rich so the children can learn from it. And the best way to do that is to play and to read books. And the third point is to create a need in the child to speak the language. In our research on bilingual families here in Australia, researchers have found time and again that if there are some monolingual speakers around, like a grandmother who doesn't know English, then the children learn the parents' other language really, really well. But that's really difficult to engineer, isn't it? I mean, I don't have a monolingual grandmother in my house either. So what parents can do is insist that the children speak the language back to them. And there are a whole lot of very soft and positive and encouraging insisting strategies that parents can use.
Susanne, you were born in Germany, but you're bringing up your children bilingually. What was your partner's native language?
Oh, my partner speaks English only. So I was really only the only person. I was the only person for my children, or especially for my first son, who spoke German with him. And I mean, in his case, he even developed language rather slowly in comparison to many other kids. But he is now 21, is a very competent speaker of German.
What about when both parents are native English speakers? Is there any way, if they want to bring up their children bilingually, to speak in more than just English, can they do that?
Well, if they know another language, yeah. And there are lots of examples like that. For instance, George Saunders, a linguist who is now working in Sydney, always spoke German with his children. He grew up in Tasmania and just learned German as a second language and then decided when he had kids that's what he wanted to do. He wrote a couple of books on that. Might be very interesting for parents to have a look at. He was very successful with that strategy. Yeah, that is possible, but you still have to speak the language with your children.
So the idea of consistency runs right through this.
Yeah, well, if you don't know a language, you can't pass it on. Mm-hmm. And just the occasional book or television program is not going to work.
with teachers, let's just say, yeah. in a classroom okay. situation, can there be some difficulties for the teacher where they've got a child who is bilingual in the class?
It might be very worthwhile for the teacher to get some advice and support in what they're doing, but there are no insurmountable difficulties as such. If a child comes from overseas and new into the classroom, of course that child is learning English as a second language originally, and that needs a specific type of support. But children who have always heard English parallel to another language during their preschool years should not pose any noticeable difficulties for a teacher whatsoever.
Can I just, as a final question, mm-hmm. ask you what you believe the benefits to a child who is brought up to speak more than one language?
Well, apart from these very obvious ones, in terms of employment and family cohesion, or actually maybe family cohesion isn't that obvious to many professionals. It's actually very important that parents can pass on a language that is dear to them, that has emotional value to them, to their children. But apart from all that, there are actually cognitive and language learning benefits for children, and even for children who have language impairments. We have not much, but we have some research that shows that if we compare monolingual and bilingual children with language impairment, the bilingual children with language impairment are still doing better in areas of literacy, for instance, than their monolingual peers.
So that's just one area where they can be at an advantage in literacy.
Yes. It's quite staggering. The prejudice is very much that bilingual children are disadvantaged when it comes to learning to read or in academic subjects in general. We have no research to support that. We have not much, but a little bit of research that supports the opposite. So I suggest to colleagues, to teachers, to parents, that in the light of the total absence of research that supports the myth that bilingualism is a disadvantage for children and the admittedly scant but at least available evidence that bilingualism can be an advantage to children, we should not shy away from raising our children bilingually, but just go ahead with what feels right for us.